Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Morning. Welcome to a Monday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Monday. That means Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com and JC rehashing the weekend of sports. We're going to head to the Titan Emerald Hotline and we're joined by JC. Good morning, JC. How are you?
Well, I'm great. Had a great weekend. Nice trip to Mississippi and back to go see a mutual friend of ours. And now here we are trying to figure out what happened on the weekend. Another crazy weekend in the SEC, certainly, with what happened in Tennessee, with what happened in Baton Rouge. I mean, listen, QB, you were there, but we all have eyes. Richardson's your starting quarterback from now on. He has to be, otherwise you're going to lose him. And I don't think that's a good thing for the program, but he has to be your starting quarterback. I see that. Why Florida's defensive front can't stop the same running play, a counter play to a guy that we all knew was going to get the ball is unbelievable to me. And, you know, listen, this is the second year in a row you've lost to the Gators have lost to a double-digit underdog who's basically got the same win percentage in the last, I guess, two seasons to this point, and who has let their coach go and is going to write him a check for $18 million while the other school went ahead and raised their coach. And we'll never fire him, so anytime soon. So that's, and I don't want anybody to get fired. I think Orgeron should stick around, but there's obviously been some off the field issues that they just can't get around at LSU. Not to mention on the field, but they are, you know, since 2019 season, they have the same winning percentage as Florida up to now.
Yeah, Florida. I was going to read that. I have it written here. I took a screenshot of it. If I can find it, and I'll read it to our listeners. Ed Orgeron is out at LSU where he was 49-17, a 742 winning percentage with an SEC and a national title. Mullen is 33-12 at 733 winning percentage with no championships and just received a raise and extension come off 8-4 season. Different expectations, right, apparently. I was there. Here's what I'll tell you. Yeah, I think Anthony will be the quarterback. I mean, he's going to make a bunch of mistakes. Here's what I don't understand. The first quarter, the wind was very stiff, at least from the press box area. You could see the flags just whipping. I don't know what it was like on field level, but we had the wind the first quarter, had two drives starting at their 41-yard line.
Right.
And never, ever was aggressive. We didn't start getting aggressive calling plays until we were down 15 points in the second half. So I don't quite understand why that happens. But the bottom line is, just my eyes tell me we're not a very good football team. You know, and people want to say that Ty Grantham didn't make adjustments. He did. They blocked us all day long, and we couldn't tackle. You know, offensively, we had trouble protecting. We couldn't run the football. We're just a very average football team, and I don't know how else to put it.
That is how you put it. So, you know, fans are going to be sitting around lunch today asking, why are we giving guys extensions and more money to be average? And why can't they get better? Well, you don't have a recruiting facility we're building a recruiting facility. You know, there's all kinds of reasons you can throw out there. But we said after the loss to Kentucky, this is another four-loss year, and it's going to head that way, it would appear. And it could be five. I don't know. Probably four. You know, you feel good about yourself when you run out of, you know, you run over Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Missouri. You got to quit worrying about those games. You've got to start getting a little bit more scrutinizing when you play teams that have the athletes that can compete with you. And, you know, LSU's is kind of an enigma how they have so many players. They also have so many injuries. They also have a roster that was depleted, and they also have a lot of pride. So what I mean by that is that when Florida comes to town, they seem to really play their best game. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's because of the rivalry they have with Florida, and it is a good rivalry. But it's amazing to me how a team like that can just rally around the, you know, circle the wagons, if you will, while Florida just sits there and tries to figure out, you know, what they're doing wrong all the time. I just don't understand how you can miss on a quarterback for the second time. I think he missed on Trask and Franks.
But again, JC, that has nothing to do with his football team.
Well, quarterback does have something to do with
it. I understand that, but what my point is, we still are getting pushed around like rag dolls. Like,
well, Saturday. You didn't against Alabama.
Here's what I don't know how good Alabama is on the front on their defensive line either. But it says right, Chris says, well, I don't think the defense is the reason we lost the game. It's not. We had four turnovers. Three of those turnovers led to 21 points. For the, you know, defense really only gave it 28. He says Grantham more than likely has to go. Players have lost trust in the defensive staff. I get all that. But again, players have to make plays. That's what I don't understand where people come from. I watched it in person. We'd have 5-7 dudes in the box, and they're just plowing through us. So it is what it is. My viewpoint is we are not a very good football team. I don't know how else to put it.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that could be true, but you have to look for some answers, right? And when you got a kid who's been sitting mostly the entire season, and for whatever reason, I don't know, we've defended the decision. You have, I have, all the media has of going the route they've gone at the quarterback position. But when this guy comes in, puts up 204 yards and is responsible for 4 touchdowns, of course, there were some interceptions too, but like you say in football, interceptions happen. It's just part of the game. You can't get them. You can't bench the guy, but he did come in and give them a chance. And just like Kyle Trask 2 years ago at Kentucky, he came in and saved the season. Richardson is the only way you're going to save the season if it's even savable right now, because you've got the best team in the country coming up in 2 weeks. He is the only guy that gives you a prayer.
JC, there's only one game, one team, as bad of a football team as we are, there's only one team that can beat us. The other teams are horrible that we're going to play.
Why do you say these things? Because I get it. South Carolina and Samford.
It's terrible.
Sure, so is Missouri. LSU was terrible. LSU was terrible.
That's my point. But LSU, I mean, look, here's what I'm saying is, we're going to beat those other teams. If we don't beat those teams, good gracious. My personal opinion, we have zero chance of beating Georgia. Zero.
Well, I mean, again, this is one of those games where, now the shoe's on the other foot. The team that has no chance is expected to just get blown out. And I just don't think that's going to happen, because I think you're going to play the right guy at quarterback for the first time in the season. And I think that will give them a better chance. You know how things are. Momentum is a big thing in football. But, yes, Georgia is the best team in the country right now. It is the most physical. It has the – you know, we already know about Georgia, okay? We know about their resume. By the way, they didn't cover against Kentucky. But I will tell you this.
Well, they should have. They dominated the damn game.
Well, yeah. I mean, their kid is good. I mean, their kids are good. They've got – unbelievable defense. Their offense, I think, is okay too, but it's not great. But I do think that Florida, with the right guy at the position, has a puncher shot. It's the Florida-Georgia game. We know about this rivalry, QB. You know as well as I do about it. You know, everything about this rivalry is crazy. It's crazy. But I will tell you, with Emory Jones, God bless him, he tried his best. He played hard. It is now time to move on. And if you can't move on now, you just don't know what you're doing. And that is the greater issue, because people have been putting it out there and saying Richardson was the guy we should have been playing from day one. I have heard it ad nauseum for 2 months, QB, and there are all kinds of reasons why he didn't become the starting quarterback. But that position, if he didn't play his way into the starting lineup in the second half, then I don't know who we're fooling.
I agree with everything you're saying, but that's still, we got bigger fish to fry across the board on the roster, is all I got to say.
I just think, listen, QB, when you look at games, you see the two teams playing, you always look at what first. Who's got the better quarterback? Mm-hmm. And Anthony Richardson, Stetson Bennett, those are going to be your starters. I don't know what JT Daniels' story is.
If they play JT Daniels. Stetson Bennett's clearly the best quarterback.
Well, okay, fine. But But this is the thing with these coaches, isn't it? You just don't know what he's going to do. I think it's very obvious what the Florida coach needs to do, although now here we are in late October, and people were screaming for this in early September.
Okay, okay. So, like what my point is, I agree with what you're saying, though, is, but still, so do we want to change every player on the front seven on defense as well, is what I'm asking?
Well, I mean, defense, no. I mean, I think Florida
– Well, we probably should.
Well, Florida defensively may not have the ability to change all these players because the guys that, you know, we don't know about the defense like we know about the quarterback situation, do we?
Well, I mean,
do
we really? Eyes don't lie. I mean, you know, you no, people I know. About the eyes tell you on offense, but yeah, defense, well, we're getting blown off the ball.
Yeah, no, listen, and it surprises me because against Alabama, that was not the case. And guess what, QB? When LSU plays Alabama, you think they're going to run counter for 280 yards? I don't think so.
No, because look, you can't compare game to game.
I know.
They ran the counter and play out a bunch of different formations, and they just blocked us. We didn't tackle our safeties. A couple in mind just didn't want any part of tackling. We got a text here on the Titan MR text line. It comes from Ryan. He says, "Well, Shane, it took some Florida on Florida crime, but JC's Jags finally put one in the left column. They'll get that seventh win in 2022. Speaking of that game, there's no way that clock should have run out. I've never seen anything like that. Speaking of crimes on Florida, that LSU running back should be arrested for assault and fleeing the scene because that dude was just bustling through and running away. All we heard last week was that LSU couldn't run the ball in Florida, made that cat look like Herschel. Well, at least my Braves are finding ways to win.
Listen, LSU was statistically the worst running team in football in this conference and in basically all of the FBS prior to their game with Kentucky. It didn't get much better with that game. That's the game that got Orgeron fired. And listen, you know, if you want to get well, just run it on Florida, apparently. And I didn't think that could be the case. I did not think LSU was capable of doing that, but they did. And that's what's, like you say, that's what's very concerning. You know, you've got a guy who's running a program that is decimated with injuries. They're losing guys left and right. And for some reason, when Florida comes to town, it's circle the wagons. And as a double-digit underdog, it's a personal attack. And they took it personal and beat the Gators. And I wish the Gators would start taking things personal. But we'll see. Because in 2 weeks, Georgia's coming in, and they're taking it personal. They hate Florida. So this is not a good situation.
No, it's not. And Georgia obviously has a ton to play for. I mean, they dominated Kentucky. I think the score was closer than the game in the final score indicated. But JC, I want to get your thoughts on what happened in Tennessee. Just ridiculous by their fans. I'm sure. I don't know what's going to happen there, but something has to happen.
Tennessee is going to be fined $750,000 to $1 million. I would not be surprised if Sankey just throws the sink at them. And it's unfortunate that took away from what was really the game of the week, a very exciting game in an environment that they haven't seen in Knoxville in years. That place was live and it was hopping, and they had a team that could have won that game. But look, if you want to talk about tough, Matt Corral is at the top of the list. That kid single-handedly, in my opinion, carried that Ole Miss team to win that game, and he is a remarkable player. But Tennessee's fans just lost their minds. And the amazing thing is, QB, is that even with that call not going Tennessee's way on the first down dive by that tight end, who really didn't even make an effort to stick the ball out, they still had three timeouts in 54 seconds, which eventually is what happened. But the fans just lost it. And you know, this is going to create a lot of scrutiny now about what's being served at football games and how fans should be treated or what they should expect to do. Where are we going to put these fans in the stadium? We're going to put the faculty behind the school, the opposing school's bench. Now, all kinds of things are going to come out. And it's just a shame because it took away from what had been one of a very exciting night in Tennessee. And give Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin credit. I think Lane Kiffin really absorbed and enjoyed the scene. I really do think he did.
He did. He absolutely loved it.
He loved it. And, you know, luckily the golf ball didn't hit him in a more dangerous spot, hit him on the arm. But who brings a range ball to the football game?
There were multiple balls, weren't there?
Well, I know, but like a yellow golf ball looked like.
Yeah, I thought there was a bunch of golf balls, though. I think there was multiple right. people that brought
them. So I didn't know that golf balls were part of your game day accessories, you know, going into the stadium. But, yeah, that was a terrible scene in Tennessee and took away the luster of what was a great night, you know, on the field and really with the crowd and the environment. But give Mississippi all the credit in the world. You know, Matt Corral's got that team. You know, they believe in him, and he's
the best player. He might be the best player in the country.
He's great. Yeah, I mean, he's a leader. He can do it with his legs. He can do it with his arms, his hand. I mean, Lane Kiffin said they were missing two of their receivers. I didn't even know that. I don't follow Mississippi, but you know, they're missing some of their guys, and they circled the wagons too. So, can Florida circle the wagons against Georgia, or does it matter?
Brandon says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mental Law. Shane, what's your take on former players' comments on Twitter after the game, specifically about the defense and the coaching? Look, I understand the former player thing, but here's the thing. They're watching a TV. I watched it from the stadium, and people talking about we did make adjustments, people. We're not morons over there, and I'm not taking up for any coach, and I'm not taking for any player, but we got our asses blocked. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, what do they want to put? All nine guys on the line of scrimmage to try to stop it? Because then all you got to do is it's an easy touchdown pass. So, and I mean, I know people are upset. I get it. But it's not like they didn't make adjustments. That just blows my mind how people say they didn't.
Well, QB, maybe what you're really saying is, you know, what you said earlier in the show here. You said in the first half we had opportunities to score, and for some reason they didn't do the adjustments at the line of scrimmage. They didn't make the plays should have been called, and they didn't seem prepared to score touchdowns when they should have been. And maybe Emory just can't do it. I don't know. But
well, no. What I was talking about in the first quarter, we were so conservative. I felt like I was watching Kentucky again. We didn't take any shots when we had them. The only pass play we threw was the trick play with Trent Whittemore. That's where, in my opinion, first quarter, with the field position we had, we should have stuck it dagger in them right then, but we didn't. And we didn't start opening the offense up until we were down 15 points in the second half. That's what I can't understand.
And you opened it up with another guy. You know, the other guy was playing.
Yeah. Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot this October. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline, we also have opened it up, our advertising. We opened up a few extra spots. Our producers and all those smart people figured it out where we can have a couple of more if anybody wants to join the program. Let's see here. Joseph says maybe the players aren't buying into the defensive scheme and it's showing that. Well, if they ain't buying into the defensive scheme, they need to go play somewhere else. I mean, I don't buy that one bit. I don't buy it one bit because it doesn't matter. JC, here's what I try to tell people. If you're a defensive tackle or defensive end, do your responsibility. Play your responsibility and make a play. Okay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
You against science. That guy. Whip his ass, okay?
Gaps.
What I saw they manhandled us up front.
They did.
I don't care what scheme it was. You could have put nine men on the box up there, which apparently that's what people want. Let's put nine guys in the box to stop the run. What do you think LSU's going to do then?
Yeah, they're going over your head. There's a double move and he's in the end zone. But the thing is that they hadn't been able to do that prior to this game for the entire season, and statistically were the worst running team in football. And here they are getting well against a team that should have been able to stop them. But, you know, that's why they play on Saturdays, folks.
I will say they ran for like 160 yards on Kentucky the previous week.
That's all right, but they got blown out. And maybe some of that was garbage yards, okay? They got blown out. Kentucky was clearly the better team and would beat them again probably. But I think that it's just hard to understand. It's just hard to understand when you've got a team that is so struggling. I mean, last year was the same thing, QB. They came in here after a 50-point loss and won as a double-digit underdog. Max Johnson owns them. You know, Aaron Rodgers
played good, man. They schemed us up pretty good on some pass plays. Yeah, it was fun to watch.
Listen, how would you feel? How would you like to be Jay Pete right now? And some of these coaches that just came into town, now they're going to be bought out and sent out of town. That sucks for them. But, you know, this is the way of the business. Orgeron's going to get a check for $18 million. He's going to get hired by Lane Kiffin, and he's going to be the happiest guy in America.
Hey, speaking of being hired by Lane Kiffin, he may not have to move.
Okay, there you go. Well, I mean, listen, once Matt Corral leaves, what's Kiffin going to do? Sure, he's going to go on down the road, maybe.
John says the Fighting McIlwains held LSU to 84 yards. You can't go back. I mean, I don't even know. We probably had some NFL guys on that defense for all I know. Do you think we have any NFL players on our defense, JC? I want to ask you.
I think Elam has a possibility.
That's the only one.
Okay. I mean, and that's not Florida football, folks. That does not reminisce, or that does not remind you of Florida football when you've got a defense that just gets physically abused and dumped off the side of the road like LSU did them. And you've got 2 weeks to look in the mirror and check yourself, because right now the season is on the brink. It is on the brink, because nobody's going to care about South Carolina, Missouri, and Samford come November. And the Florida State game, whatever. But Georgia's your last chance to save any semblance of a respectable season. And this coach, who just got raised and just got extended, has to come up with the answers. That's what his job is. That's what he's paid to do. And you know, if Ed Orgeron can come up with answers against Florida, then folks should expect Dan Mullen to come up with answers against Georgia. And I know we don't have the same material as we do as Georgia, but that's been the story of this rivalry for decades. And sometimes
they're talking about the Fighting McIlwain. Central Michigan held LSU to 84 yards this year.
That's silly. I mean, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, okay. No, it's a true. It's a fact. But LSU's not playing Central Michigan with the same attention as they're playing Florida. Yeah, and even though it was 11, you can't match that. None of that means anything. It's the transitive properties.
I mean, it's very simple. You can't look at how Florida ran the football against Alabama, and we ain't run it since. I mean, so we really have. If you got joint pain in your knee, shoulder, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. Give them a call, 352-400-4550. A few more minutes with JC here. All right, JC, what else? Stood out to you in college football. I want to pat myself on the back. I did predict the Purdue Boilermakers to beat Iowa.
Yes, you did.
Because they can throw the football. Jeff Brom can dial them up, brother.
Well, and amazingly, right now in the loss column of the West, they are tied with Iowa with a tiebreaker advantage. So now you can't just say Iowa's going to cruise into the championship game like we all thought they would, because Purdue beat them. And you're right about that. But I'm not going to mistake Purdue for the Barry Alvarez's Wisconsin Badgers. But let's face it, they showed up and dominated that game. You know, Brom, Rondell Moore of the Cardinals, and the two guys he had playing against Iowa, these guys are ballers. I mean, Florida would love to have those receivers right now. And Purdue is a surprise. Utah was a surprise. The way they came back from Arizona State, suffering personal tragedy as a team with the death of a player, and coming back from 14 down to beat the Arizona State Sun Devils, that conference just basically eats its young. They destroy each other in that league. Oklahoma is now back to the real Oklahoma because they've got the right guy playing quarterback finally. He's figured that out, and we've seen the last of Spencer Rattler. In fact, I'm going to go as far as saying Caleb Williams could actually be in the Heisman conversation if he's throwing up these numbers.
He and Matt Corral, the two best quarterbacks in America.
I mean, they are playing great. I think Bryce Young played great for Alabama, you know, just throwing the ball out there and just dominating that game. That puts them, I think, back in the conversation with Iowa losing, because if you look at the top four now, it's going to come out like this. It's going to come out Georgia 1, Cincinnati 2. Who am I missing at 3 for some dumb reason?
Somebody at 3.
Yeah, right. And then exactly. And then I think you take Alabama from 5 to 4, because nobody's going to confuse Iowa right now like they may have. And I thought Iowa was potentially the real deal on defense, but they just got destroyed by Purdue, and you were right about that. And then, of course, you have Georgia showing us why they're the team to beat right now in football with the way they manhandled Kentucky. You know, Kentucky tried, but they didn't take enough shots passing the football. They you know, they hung in there, but let's face it, Georgia is just such a dominant team right now. I was impressed with the way Auburn came off the schneid and went to Arkansas and won. I think Texas A&M, that was not a surprise there. And basically you've got Pittsburgh in the ACC looking like they're going to want to win that conference with the way they handled Virginia Tech. Oklahoma State was very impressive coming back against Texas. That could set up for a really interesting bedlam game against Oklahoma at the end of the year, although there's still some games to play. But Oklahoma State, you know, that game went under QB, and Oklahoma State's playing a little defense. And
somebody said Oklahoma State was going to win that game, didn't they?
Somebody did. Somebody did, but that same somebody took Mississippi State, but I hear you.
Well, I did that to win, lose by 17, not to win the game. All right, real quick, JC.
You're right.
We got a Facebook Live brought to you by Mel and Law. Joseph wants to know who I would start at quarterback going forward. Well, you're going to start Anthony. Here's the reason, though. My opinion, he has a longer leash, and he can play freer than Emery. I feel like Emery plays with his hands handcuffed at times because he's looking over his shoulder. But here's what's going to happen, JC. Don't be surprised if we got people calling or texting or whatever. We need to give Emery another shot after a couple of games because you throw a couple of interceptions, have a couple of fumbles, they're going to want the other guy back in there.
Well, I hear you, QB, but you've always told me. You said interceptions are just going to happen. You know,
they are,
but the
fans – like, okay, for example, interceptions do happen. But I wanted to bring up because I got a text over the weekend from a former college football player. I'm not going to give names. And he texts me. Let me see if I still got the text. I may just have
to look it up.
Make it up. Let me see if I can find it. And I thought it was interesting. And I'm going to throw this out to our listeners. He says, I'm going to kind of paraphrase because it's got a million other things in here about hunting and fishing. And says here, why do people call Mullen the so-called QB guru? Why hasn't he ever had a single top-notch, highly rated quarterback signed to play with him?
Well, yeah, it's basically been with Dan Mullen what happens after they sign with him. You know, Nick Fitzgerald never got an offer from anybody. Dak Prescott was not highly sought after, although I think he was recruited by some other teams. But it's always come after they've gotten here or gotten with Coach Mullen. But I don't know why he can't seem to find the guy out of high school or out of the transfer for portal. But listen, Anthony Richardson, I think, has potential to really be something special. We just have to see more of it. And I think that's the only way Florida's going to help itself. I don't want to see Anthony Richardson transfer to UCF. Do you?
No, but I thought that was a very interesting text.
Well, sure. But again, with Dan Mullen, it's come after the fact, not before.
Right, but my point is, okay, Caleb Williams was one of the highest-rated quarterbacks, Spencer Rattler, in America. Where did they go?
Mm-hmm. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Sure.
I didn't start really thinking about it because your point is very valid. But if you're the number one or number two, number five quarterback in America, why is Florida not on your list?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's because when he was coordinating under Urban Meyer, it did not appear to be a passing happy offense. You know, it was a bunch of who knows what it was, flag football. And maybe it's because, you know, he's really the same guy calling plays that he was back in 06 and 07 and 08 and whatever. And maybe that's because quarterbacks who want to zing it around aren't going to be able to do it, although Kyle Trask did do it. So that's a good question.
I wish we could go. I wish we go back to getting a drop-back guy like Trask, but we're not. Yeah. We don't have anybody on our roster. Dan says that he says one of our backups is a five-star. Really?
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, we don't keep up with the recruiting like the fans do because we just want to see kids play. But recruiting is everything. I know Buddy doesn't believe it. Your Tuesday guest, Buddy Martin, God bless him, but it absolutely is. And so – I don't know what to say. Florida better find some defensive players. They better find some guys that can catch the ball and run away from people. And so, you know.
All right, real quick before we let you go, I went 6-8.
Maybe not.
Peachland picks. You went 5-9. We're both at 30-42 on the year. Not very good. Your Jags got their first win of the year.
Happy about that. Yeah, good for them. And, you know, listen, I didn't think they were going to go winless this year, but they're not the worst team in football. That would go to the team in Detroit, and that would go to who should have three wins, and that would, I guess, also go to the team they just beat. In fact, Jacksonville's not even the worst team in Florida, QB. How about that? So, I mean, you know, what is Miami thinking? Just think about Miami. All those picks, all that cap space, all this, all that. They suck. They're awful. And so does their college team, by the way. Where's Manny Diaz going to go? He should go back as an assistant coach somewhere in the Pac-12 or somewhere in the Big 12 or wherever. You know, that's going to be a job that's open. Obviously, the LSU job, the Southern Cal job, it's going to be a very interesting coaching carousel conversation in the offseason. And I'm glad it's in the offseason because I don't want to talk about it now. But as these coaches finish out the year with their schools, even though the one at Southern Cal was just basically let go on the spot. And he left. But listen.
But JC, if you're a hot commodity, yeah. The hottest coach in America right now, and you were offered both USC and LSU, where would you go?
Well, okay, that's a tough question.
I know where I would go.
Well, I know why you would go there, too. And the reason is because it's going to be a lot easier to win in the Pac-12 than it is in the SEC West. Get that. Although it seems like to me in the Pac-12, these teams have a hard time finishing because everybody beats each other in that league, kind of like the SEC in a way. But it's true that Southern Cal should be able to dominate that conference. They just haven't. And LSU, but if you're going to go to a school in the SEC, QB, LSU is one of the top three. They are. Because LSU is the school that can get what they need to win, and they've proven it already, and they've done it. It's just amazing that here we go again, looking for another coach in such a short period of time, and it can't be fun. It cannot be fun, and it's got to really.
I think it's a simple decision. I would take the USC job because you are going to win immediately. Immediately. Danny wants me to answer his question here, brought to you by Metal Law. On the last drive, Mullen called first two plays a run into the line. Then Anthony had third and long. Sometimes it's almost like Dan wants his guy to succeed. Jones has been getting first team reps for 4 years. Dan is not working. I'm not sure what he's talking. If he's saying that he called two run plays for Anthony to not be successful, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They're trying to tie the game up and go into overtime.
And listen, Richardson.
He opened it up. He opened it up when Anthony came into the game. We opened up the offense for sure. It was not even close.
It's an easy call to make when your guy throws a pick six at the beginning of the second half and, you know, just hasn't gotten it done. It was an easy call. I mean, you don't need to pay a guy $9 million to make that decision. What you need to do is when you pay a guy $7-9 million, he needs to make the right decision from day one. And I don't think they've done that. I'm just going to leave with that.
Well, that could be true. But like I told you, there's bigger fish to fry and bigger issues on this team than just a quarterback.
Okay, but that's the most important spot, bro.
I agree. But let's put up 500 yards, but we're going to give up 600 because we don't have great personnel. I mean, it's simple. I mean,
I don't know, man. The good news is that we got 2 weeks until the next one. I think that is good news. And I don't know how good that news is, but, you know, this game in 2 weeks, Georgia's been circling this game, especially after what happened last year. And it's, I don't know.
Chris says 6% state taxes, Louisiana, 13% in California, LSU, no brain. Chris, these guys make so much money, you're going to get a huge contract. They want to win. They ain't worried about their money. And you can win immediately as the coach of the Trojans and be in the playoff hunt. So,
But LSU's going to get players, QB. You know this?
I know that. But you got to deal with the SEC. The Pac-12 stinks. All this Oregon talk, and I don't understand the Mario Cristobal going here.
Yeah.
They're average. All right, JC, we got to get to Scott Carter.
All right, sounds good.
Get all your thoughts ready for Wednesday.
Go Braves.
That's JC Joyce on the Titan MR Highline. Come back. We're going to talk to Scott Carter from FloridaGators.com.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics. Live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Avera and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Covered Open Air Bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit Spurrier's.com/visors.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Center State Bank is now South State Bank, where we still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, Bank of Ford, member FDIC. We're now going to head to the Titan of our hotline. We're joined by our good friend from FloridaGators.com, senior writer Scott Carter. Good morning, Scott. How are you, bud?
Hey, Shane, man. I'm doing well. Going through my email box this morning. Got a few hot ones coming in today. So you know how that goes after a tough game like Saturday.
Yeah, I'm getting all these Facebook lives talking about recruiting. Danny says Dan chose to take the last weekend of the recruiting period off last week of June this year. Why not do that during the dead period in July? Speaks volumes to how he prioritizes recruiting. Is that true? I don't think that's true, is it?
Not to my knowledge. I really don't know. I mean, if that was the case, I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't think any coaches take off because you only got a short window.
I remember June was huge for them because they could get people back on campus finally after, what, over a year not being able to?
Yeah. So I'm sorry to interrupt you because the recruiting thing drives me insane. Do I think we need to recruit better? Yes. How do you recruit better is the question. Because, Scott, you could be the best quarterback in America, and you could be from Ocala, Florida, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to do everything I can in my power that's legal, which I don't even know what's legal and not legal now, and I can say, hey, this is the best place for you. You're 40 miles down the road, blah, 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 but look what I've done with quarterbacks. But you're a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid. You're going to make your decision, and you're going to go play where it's best for you to play. And I don't think people understand that. They're just looking at it from their loyalty to their school. Yeah. I mean, hell, take me for example. My dad played at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
My mom was a cheerleader at Ole Miss. I didn't go to Ole Miss.
Yeah, should have gone to Ole Miss, Shane. Yeah. But you're right. You got to look at what the situation is for you. And, I mean, you know, I think in the past, tradition has, okay, if you're a Florida kid and you live close to Gainesville, Florida, that's where you're probably going to go, or Florida State or Miami. I mean, those days have been over now for 20-some years probably. That's why, you know, you see so many kids from Florida playing all over the country. And I think right now, just when you look specifically at Florida and the SEC and Alabama and Ohio State out of the SEC, I mean, there's been Clemson, there's been three or four programs that in some ways has dominated college football in the last several years. And naturally when these young guys see, boy, look at all the pro players going from Alabama to the NFL right now. I mean, it's hard to get into that. I mean, Florida's certainly had some great players over that time, but to do it consistently, you generally have to be in that college football playoff, I think, in this day and age. Until you crack that consistently, you're going to be pecking at the outside looking in, and once in a while you may get a sniff of it, but that's where Florida is right now, and it show, and that's just where recruiting will be until they get in there consistently.
Yeah, the recruiting has changed dramatically. Kids want to go play where they can play for a national championship. If you're one of the top players at whatever position is, okay, what schools are going to be playing in the 14 playoff or whatever, however they expand it, that's where they're going to go. And until we get on that level, you're not going to get the top-notch players. And plus, until we have that facility built, which is crucial, which is being constructed right now, that's part of the whole piece, the puzzle. But you got to win games, and that's where kids want to go. All right, to Baton Rouge. Not a good outcome. Defense got manhandled, although the defense only really gave up 28 points. I think people want to forget that. Three interceptions led to 21 points on a short, short field. What do you think, Scott? I basically came out today and said, I just don't think we're a very good football team right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we've seen the last two of the last three games, I mean, I think it backs it up. It's a team right now that just seems to be kind of, you know, it's a cliche searching for its identity or whatever. I feel like it's lost it a little bit. They need to, you know, some of that you lose like Ventrell Miller on defense, and I think that's hurt some. I think what happened the other day at LSU, I mean, you know, Tyree and Prince Davis, I mean, nobody sees that coming, right? 287 yards rushing. The turnovers were a huge factor. Without question, the defense isn't going to be out there as much if the turnovers don't happen on offense. But they definitely have some work to do on trying to figure some things. And it's stopping the not only the run game, just kind of the same play. It was kind of confusing to see what was going on there because you figure they've got the players up front and those big guys like Newkirk and Valentino and Truesdale to maybe plug up some of the holes, but they just never were able to do it.
When you run that counter power play, it's a gap scheme. So whatever side you're running it to, everybody just basically caves down the front, which is, I don't want to say it's easy blocking because it's nothing's easy, but you have a really good angle on the big guys. Then your pullers are kicking out and wrapping into the hole. And so it's all about angles. And I mean, LSU ran it. I mean, they ran it out of different formations. They had a lot of smoke and mirrors, but it was still the same concept. And I tried to tell people, they just blocked us. I mean, people can say what they want to say about the scheme, making adjustments. They blocked us. And when the guy broke past the linebacker area, our safeties didn't tackle very well or didn't want any piece of it. So
that's been
sometimes you got to give them credit, and it was a bad look for us. And then but I thought where we really wasted chances in this game, Scott, was the first quarter. Yeah. We had to win. We had tremendous field position. I think we only scored one touchdown, but we should have put the nail in the coffin the first quarter. But I thought we were very conservative.
Yeah, you're right. They had a chance there. If they had all the momentum early, and you felt they needed to score more than what was 7 points. I mean, I didn't see a 49-42 game at that point. But I thought Florida had a chance to really just take the crowd out, put LSU in the hole, and take control of that game. And it didn't happen. And then, you know, LSU figured some things out with the run game, and they stuck with it, and they took control. And then Florida had the turnover problems. And then, I mean, my final impression of this game, I wrote about it. I mean, you know, you can look at all kinds of things from this game and shake your head if you're a Gator fan. I think the one thing that I mean, Anthony Richardson proved to me that, okay, this guy, I didn't know how good of a quarterback he was. We've talked about this, Shane. He's got a lot of growth to make. There's a lot of areas that he can improve on. But I saw enough on Saturday where I'm okay if Anthony Richardson the guy for the rest of the season. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to look. But he was definitely he brought something that the Gators needed in that game. And it kept them in that game. And now it's really going to be interesting to see with this quarterback controversy, which I don't really think has been a controversy until now. I think what happened Saturday has changed that dynamic, you know, internally. Externally, it's been kind of flopping around all season, but I think now it's more internal.
Yeah, I like I said earlier in the show, I said I think you go forward with Anthony. I mean, he's got ability. He's going to make mistakes, but sure. I feel like he has a longer leash now with yep. people. Like, if he throws four interceptions against Georgia, fans aren't going to care. They're not going to want to go back to Emory. And no. and that's how it is. John says on Facebook Live, Kentucky ran the ball on LSU for 330 yards the week before. Why do you think we came out and tried to throw so much? Maybe because their secondary was play. Their secondary, that might have been the worst secondary I've seen at LSU in 20 years. However, they played us man coverage pretty much 90% of the game. Bump, man, and dared us to throw the football. But we couldn't get much push in the run game.
No, really, that was surprising because I thought they would be able to. But I think also it goes back to game planning and what you just mentioned, Shane. I think early on they did come out to look to throw the ball some, maybe get some rhythm there. And of course, when you do that, your running stats aren't going to pile up. But, and you know, they didn't run, I mean, they ran okay. It's been a different look run game really the last three games or so for Florida after leading the nation there the first month or so. I think that's just some plans. I don't know if there's anything else going on. I mean, we know the offensive line has been banged up some, but I don't think that's it. I think it's more been just what they've wanted to do in each game. Now you're looking at how's it going to look against Georgia? I mean, how's this team going to look the rest of the year? Because we've seen that real run production early, and now we've seen the kind of back and forth with quarterbacks. Now we got the young quarterback, Anthony Richardson, kind of making his mark the most in the last week's game. So it's going to be interesting to see what Mullen and his staff do offensively as they get ready to play the best defense in the country. I mean, statistically, and the number one ranked team in the country. So huge challenge they have coming up, Shane, but luckily they got an extra week to work on it. And we all know if they can somehow go over there and surprise Georgia, that right now that is kind of – that would make their season from where we're looking at it today.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing that saves the season. And Tasha wants to know, and I don't think they have one of these anymore, brought to you by Metal Law. Who is the recruiting coordinator at UF now? Do they have one of those anymore?
Yeah, I mean, they have a recruiting office. I mean, it's probably – I think Lee Davis is back there. She kind of, I think, oversees the department. But they have a lot of people working in recruiting more than any time I've been at Florida. And, you know, I know they work hard and they're doing a lot of stuff, but that's where it is right now. A lot of people in that department. It's a mixture from what I could tell. You know, some new Mullen from Mississippi State, and they've also brought in guys with Florida ties like Charlie Skolaski, who played here. You know, people like that. So it's a wide-ranging department back there.
Dan says on Facebook Live, the tempo was better when AR was in the game. I agree with that, and I felt like it is every time he comes in. It seems like to me, for whatever reason, and this is just me watching the game, they call a play and they run it with AR. It seems like whatever they signal in when Emory's in the game, it's almost like a check with me. Everybody's looking at the sideline at some point during the cadence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's what they're planning to do, but it just seems like they do it every time.
I don't know if that's something where they're keeping it simpler for him or what, but all I know is whatever they were doing in the second half with Anthony, they should do that a lot because, I mean, the offense was really rolling. And it's unfortunate that the ending happened the way it did, where he made a bad decision there on that, you know, got to just throw the ball away there instead of actually trying to make a play, you know, throwing off your back foot. But he was feeling it at the time, and he'll learn from that. And, again, he just brought something that was exciting to see on a more extended version. You know, we've seen little pieces. I thought we saw it consistently on Saturday in a lot of ways.
Yeah, a couple more minutes here with Scott Carter. Nat says on Facebook Live, I hate to say it, but Mullen was winning more when he had mostly old Yellers players. And then he says here, Nat says, same thing I've been saying. The more we get into his guys, the worse the outcomes are. I guess he's returning. Yeah, because I guess after this year, some of Mullen's recruits will be draft eligible, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, everybody's been drafted since he's been here have been McElwain's guys. So,
well, you know, I mean, he brought in some guys like the transfers. I mean, it's, but true. Yeah, a lot of the true freshmen who've gone through the program were more McElwain guys, but he's got a lot now. And, you know, I know everybody's going to point the recruiting, Shane. And I mean, I think it's somewhere, yeah, they can improve on, but there's been some things in these games where I think there's some, the talent maybe is there. The execution just hasn't been, and it's really cost them this year.
Yeah, it's, nothing worse than going on a bye week coming off a bad, bad loss. So it won't be much fun. And Chris Dorian Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Dorian Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Had Rick ask about the extent of Trent Whittemore's injury. I've not spoken with Trent. We're still hoping to get him on tomorrow. He was walking around in a boot, so I don't think anything was broken.
Yeah, not to my knowledge, but, you know, just from being around and looking at that, it looked like it was not your typical sprained ankle side. But, you know, I don't know when we're going to get an update. Mullen's not talking today as normal, to my knowledge. Or is he? I'll have to double check my facts there. But I know, you know, we may not hear about that right away, but you hope that Trent can get back sooner than possible because he would be a great weapon to have against Georgia as that kind of a trick guy, which we've now seen a couple times. And he's obviously coming along as a receiver.
Scott, good stuff, my man. Time went by pretty fast there. Enjoy your vacation there at the beach, and we will talk to you next week, my man.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Shane.
That's Scott Carter. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline and take a final timeout. Come back and wrap up this Monday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gator's Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Let's get to This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members with all levels of experience, great culture, and opportunity for growth. $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give them a call, 352-376-2366. This Day in Sports in 1902. I meant to read this when JC was on the air. 1902, the seventh Iron Bowl played in Birmingham. The Auburn Tigers beat Alabama 23-0. That's This Day in Sports, brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Got a bunch of people. I appreciate it. Man, we got a ton of comments today. I guess it's good when you, for sports talk radio or podcast, when you lose a game, it sucks. But everybody's got something to say. And I couldn't get to everybody, so I apologize for that. But we got all week. Brandon does say the SEC is a line of scrimmage league, and just about every team plays this man. That speaks volumes. Very good point. Very good point there. Anyway, today's show is a wrap brought to you by Rap Spot. Enjoy your Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
First and 10. Matthews, near side, wide open, Alonzo Sullivan. He may go. Touchdown, Gators!